Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Split Decision Podcast. I am your host, Roman Garcia, with my co-host and my good pal, PJ Katona. PJ, not Monday morning, Monday afternoon. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good. It's starting to get cold around here, unfortunately, in this wonderful state of Indiana we live in. So a little cold walk here, not going to lie, but I'm good now. How about yourself?
I'm viciously tired. I just got back in to Bloomington about hour and a half ago from Northwest Indiana, but you know, I said I'm gonna come back. First thing I want to do is do my podcast. I said we got to keep it going on Mondays, so here we are at 6:30 Monday afternoon. Gonna try to keep the energy going because I am feeling pretty tired, but you know, have a lot to get through today. Had a very exciting weekend.
Great weekend.
Great weekend for the Split Decision Pod. We had to have a bounce back weekend after a lackluster 200 UFC 280, and we came back in a big way this weekend. So PJ, you wanna pick a place to get us started on the UFC 280?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, right from the get go, it was, I mean, the whole card itself was a huge success in my opinion for the UFC. I mean, we had 14 fights, 11 of them ended in finishes, 7 of them, which is half the card, ended in the first round actually. Jesus. I would love to know when's the last time that happened. Yeah, but, I mean, we had Carlos Olberg, who is a teammate of Dan Hooker, Israel Adesanya, and Brad Riddell. He got us started off with a very impressive performance right off the bat with a vicious, vicious knockout. I told Tyler, my roommate, I told him right after I saw that knockout, I was like, we're in for a heck of a card.
I thought the same thing.
We're in for a heck of a card, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, there was, I don't know exactly who we want to discuss here in the undercard. I mean, everything's honestly worth noting.
Did you watch the whole enchilada?
I watched everything. So, right, yeah. I mean, I haven't rewatched anything at all, but I mean, everything's kind of still pretty fresh in my head.
So, yeah, we'll just recap. Yeah. I guess we can, since everything was pretty notable, honestly, we'll just quickly go recap fight for fight. Olberg, as PJ said, looked very good, knocked him out. This Julio Arce versus Montel Jackson. That was probably one of the more boring fights on the card. Montel picked up the victory, rightfully so.
He looked sharp. He had like good. How many minutes? Let me see. Six minutes of ground control. Yeah, he looked good. You could tell he was.
And then scored the knockdown in the third round. Yeah. That pretty much sealed the deal for him. Then in a very exciting one round fight between Michael Trezano and Sang-woo Choi, starting off within the first 30 seconds, both men. Rare sight to see. Double knockdowns at the exact same time.
With left hooks.
Mm-hmm. Left hooks.
Hilarious. I mean, yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. And then within those 4 minutes and 50 seconds that the two men fought, there were 3 knockdowns.
Yeah.
They were landing some big shots. Sang-woo Choi, I think as we were talking about it, kind of got a little sloppy, and Michael Trezano was able to capitalize. Was it a right hand that put him down?
I believe so. I mean, they were both pretty hurt pretty badly throughout the fight, and I was just, you know, they were both kind of swinging for joy at that point. Somebody was bound to go down there, and unfortunately for Sang-woo Choi, it happened to be him.
Yeah.
But another entertaining fight right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Carolina. I'm not even going to try and say her last name. No shot I get that right. But I'm a big fan of Carolina. She's a former title contender. Yeah, she looked, I'm pretty sure she might have been the underdog in this fight. I don't recall.
Looks like it was about even money.
Yeah, it was pretty even throughout the whole day. But, she looked sharp. She actually wrestled quite a bit. I was a little surprised. The whole first round was pretty much all Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up picking up a unanimous 29-28 on all three judges' scorecards there. So, good to see Carolina, because I believe she, before that, it was on a, I think she won her last fight, but before that, she had lost five in a row previous to these last two. Jesus. So good to see her get a little win streak going again.
Good for you, Carolina. Yeah. I actually did not catch the Matt Provola versus the Ottoman as a team.
You know the Timmy Trumpet song, Narco? That's what Frivola walked out to.
Really?
That.
Yes. That's hilarious.
I had, because originally I picked Ottman because, I mean, he was undefeated, looked very good. And then I heard Frivola come out to,
and you're like, oh,
to
geez,
Narco, and I was like, he is not losing this fight. Not a shot. He also tweeted on Twitter before the fight, he said, should I use my wrestling or my striking to win this fight?
Wow.
and most of them said striking, and he delivered with a knockout, another vicious knockout. And actually, Ottman is a fighter under Ali Abdelaziz.
Oh.
So once I saw Ali Abdelaziz in Ottman's corner, and then I saw Frivola go out to Narco, I had no doubt in my mind that Frivola was about to win that fight.
Yeah, never a sorry sight to see Ali on the losing side, certainly. Yeah, good win for Matt Frivola. That he had like the early prelims, and now we'll get into the regular prelims, which started off with Andre Petrowski versus Wellington Turman. That was a three-round fight that went the distance with Petrowski picking up the victory. Yeah.
Didn't catch that one?
No,
dude. Not. Petrowski is like, I can't believe he makes middleweight. He is a big dude, and he looked impressive.
Eight takedowns,
8 minutes of ground control. Yeah, he looked very good. He looked a little tired, I will say, but yeah. And Turman actually hit him with some pretty big shots as well. But Petrovsky's just
walked through the fire.
He's a beast, man.
Good for
picked up a unanimous decision victory as well. Even like the decision fights, though, even those were very exciting moments.
There was good,
in those.
Great matchmaking. Top to bottom.
I agree. This is
they certainly had a lot of styles and fighters that fought well against one another.
I agree.
And there weren't too many one-sided beatdowns besides the next fight on the prelims.
Yeah, this was
Aaron Blanchfield versus Molly McCann.
Meatball Molly.
Aaron Blanchfield came in the -380 favorite, but Molly McCann came in with all the hype behind her, coming off her back-to-back victories in London. But she was never in this fight from the get-go. Blanchfield outlanded her 93-7 in total strikes. Took her down one time, and that was the end of the fight.
That's
right
all
there.
She wrote.
Finished her with the Kimura. I thought she was about to rip her arm off. Joe Rogan was pleading for her to tap.
I know. There was like good 15 seconds straight of Blankfield just throwing elbow after elbow after elbow. I mean, Molly, and the thing is, like, they must not have been landing super hard. It was more volume than violent because, I mean, I don't even think Molly had a cut on her face after the fight.
They were blunt elbows than slicing.
But I will say, like, this is the first time I've seen Blankfield fight live that I can recall. Maybe I have, but if I haven't, I mean, still, she looks very, very sharp. And she's only 23 years old, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it. I mean, she's probably going to be in the top 10 now, or she's going to get a top 10 opponent next. And being 23 and this good is noteworthy
for
sure.
She gets a lot of time to grow, and I'm sure maybe we'll be seeing her in the top 15 sometime soon.
Well, she is.
Yeah, she just beat number 15, so I would imagine.
No, she is number 12. She's number 12.
Oh.
I know. I didn't know that either.
On the UFC website, she's not even ranked. That's crazy. Yeah. Good for you, Aaron Blanchfield. Yeah, you got the bag, too. You beat Molly McCann. That's Drake's favorite women's fighter. Moving up to the co-main event of the prelims, though. We had Dominic Reyes making his long-awaited return versus Ryan Spann. Dominic Reyes came in the favorite in this fight, a -215. But that fight certainly did not go his way, did it, PJ?
No, not at all. And it also ended very quickly, unfortunately. It's just, the sport is crazy to me because Dominic Reyes, like, I forgot what year that was. But
2018.
Has an argument for beating John Jones, which is arguably the greatest fighter of all time, and now he's lost four in a row ever since then.
Yeah.
And some pretty gruesome knockouts, to say the least. And yeah, sadly, this one ended in 1:20. Ryan Spann landed an overhand right hook, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Not a whole lot to say.
Yeah.
Sad to see Dominic go out the way he did because, I mean, obviously, you know, started off his MMA career 12-0, and now he's 12-4, just like that. So
you think we see him in the UFC octagon again? Give him another chance?
I mean, three consecutive knockouts, knockout losses. Two of them, I don't know. If he does, it needs to be somebody, like, unranked. But at that point, I don't know. I would not like to see him fight anymore, personally. He had a heck of a career, I will say, but
give him Hamza. He'll be all right. All right. Well, RIP Dominic Reyes. We'll see you in the PFL sometime soon. Main event of the prelims now. We had Renato Moicano versus Brad Riddell. Renato, very close fight. On the from the matchmakers, +105 for Brad Riddell, -125 for Renato Moicano. My friend Tristan texted me before asking me who I had. I said I don't even know. I said Moicano just because I liked him better, and that was kind of a last minute decision, which ended up paying dividends because Moicano was pretty much in control from the opening bell, and ended up getting the rear naked choke. Right, rear naked choke.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. 3 minutes and 20 seconds into the fight, finished Brad Riddell, and then went on to give the most electrifying post-fight speech I've heard in a long time.
We cannot share what he said, but you guys should definitely watch the post-fight interview because it was quite entertaining, and I would like to say he definitely gained quite a few fans after that one. Very, very funny. Had Joe Rogan laughing there on the microphone and probably everybody in the stadium.
Yeah, literally.
But, I felt, personally for me, like, I obviously, like, I respected him considering he took that short-notice Dos Anjos fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, now he's got this fight under his belt. I mean, I would...
Yeah, big victory for
him.
Like
I say, I'm a huge fan of him, but, like, I do like him now. I'll definitely probably be rooting for him in the future.
Yeah, you know, those Brazilians, they always come in with some nice all-around skills, good jiu-jitsu, good the Muay Thai, willing to take the damage, and, yeah, he definitely gained a lot of fans, and like BJ was saying, we can't play it on the pod, because we will get kicked off IUS TV, but go ahead and do yourself a favor and look that up.
You want a good laugh,
mm-hmm.
Watch that.
All right, but yeah, that took care of the prelims right there, and now we will move on to the main card where we made our predictions last Monday, and we will start off with Dan Hooker versus Claudio Puelles. A fight that I thought doomed me for the rest of the card because it did not go the way me and PJ envisioned at all. PJ, you want to tell us what exactly Puelles was doing out there?
I don't even know what he, like, honestly, like, the only thing I thought during and after the fight is, like, maybe, like, there was some kind of injury that, like, he, that happened to him that he just didn't want to
get engaged.
I don't know what, like, have no words. I've never seen, in my opinion, that was one of the more pathetic performances I have ever seen, especially being on, like, in the main card. Like, you know, sometimes you see, like, on the prelims, like, smaller, like, guys that obviously aren't ready yet. Like, but, I mean, you're on the bright lights. This was his chance. You know, he's
your biggest fight.
In my opinion, I thought he was an up-and-coming prospect in the lightweight division, and I am obviously embarrassingly completely wrong by that.
Exactly. Embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
No, like, I felt a fool making him or predicting him to be the winner. Like when I was watching, I watched a lot of these fights with my family in my living room. And when this fight was going on and saw him like falling to the floor every 30 seconds, I literally felt embarrassed. I was like, why did I pick this guy? Now, granted, in the very first round, he almost got the finish. And I was thinking to myself, okay, like, you know, he went for that leg lock. Didn't turn out the best, but, you know, he's obviously threatening submissions. Now, I did not know that that was the only submission he knew how to do. He did not know how to his strikes to set up a takedown.
Unbelievable.
To set up a clinch, anything.
Like, in all seriousness, like, he's a professional, but he looked lost. Like,
yes. It looked like he was a jiu-jitsu practitioner, and they put him in an MMA fight for the first time.
I mean, that was, I don't even know what to say. And like I said, if I were to get a pick wrong that I made, I was hoping it was this one, and, you know, like I said, thankfully it was, because I like Dan Hooker a lot, so I was happy he got the victory. No offense to Dan Hooker, he didn't really have to do anything super impressive to get the victory. Do you have anything else to say about play? I don't even know what's next for Puelles.
I hope you, I don't know, I hope they cut you, honestly.
I was about to say.
A lot of people were saying that. They said it was so.
I saw on Twitter, everyone was saying Puelles should never fight in the UFC ever again.
That was, it was actually a disgusting
performance. It was just goofy. I mean.
Yeah, shout out to Dan Hooker for finishing that, dude. I wish he would have finished it with a head kick instead. That was pissing me off.
Well, it was whatever, though.
But my mom picked the Hangman, and so did my sister, so.
Good for them, thankfully.
Good for them for having support.
Sorry for doubting you, Dan.
Nah.
Not a true fan. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, I was putting my bias aside on this card, but of course, you know, whatever I do, obviously there are things that happen. So.
That's what I thought. I thought, Jesus, don't tell me this is part two. Don't tell me I'm going to have to cancel my podcast because we are just the worst matchmakers ever.
Yeah.
But that quickly turned around after Frankie Edgar versus Chris Gutierrez. Now, sad. We did predict that Frankie Edgar would make it to the final bell, that he would make it all three rounds and go the distance. But that was not the case. This fight ended quickly, and it ended viciously. Didn't it, PJ?
Sadly, I can't say I'm surprised. I think I don't know exactly what I said on the last episode, but I'm pretty sure I probably said something around I wouldn't be surprised if he got knocked out pretty quickly in this fight, but as a fan of the sport, and with Frankie Edgar just being the Hall of Famer and legend that he is, I couldn't go on here and just say I want it. Like, I'm going to see him get knocked out. I thought maybe he'd have some, you know, magic at the end to hold that, have his chin hold up in his final fight. But unfortunately, did not happen.
He's just taking too much damage.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, in this sport, Father Time is undefeated, unfortunately.
Yep. My mom bet on Frankie Edgar. And I told her, Ma, you're making a terrible decision. She said, why? It's his last fight. He has to go out swinging.
That's the thing. When people say that, they don't understand. No, this sport isn't like baseball, basketball, where you can go out peacefully. No, this sport, most of the time,
you go out.
Fighters retire because they went out in an ugly way. Yeah, unfortunately,
people retire too late. Yeah. And, I think that was probably the case for Frankie Edgar, unfortunately. But shout out to Chris Gutierrez for getting the job done. I mean,
like he said, he said it was his turn now. Frankie's a legend, but it's his turn. Not that I'm saying it's his turn. I'm not sure how great he is.
He's just another one of those names now in the 135 pound division who is just
stacked.
A top dog, dude. Like,
this division is stacked, man.
From top to bottom. Chris Gutierrez looked so good. I think that's 8 wins on the bounce for him.
He's won 7 of his last 8 fights, and the one was a draw. He hasn't lost in 8 fights. This bantamweight division just continues to get names that are dangerous up and down.
Yeah, so wouldn't be surprised if Chris Gutierrez has earned himself a shot at a top 15 opponent.
Sad to see Frankie go out, thank you very much.
Hell of a career, Frankie Edgar. I agree. Thanks for all that you did for the sports, man.
I agree. Much appreciation, and wish him the best of luck with whatever he does in the future.
But after that, after we dug Frankie Edgar's grave, we went on to one of the most exciting fights of the year, Dustin Poirier versus Iron Michael Chandler. Man. Ooh, this was a barn burner if I've ever seen one, PJ. I put out the poll on our Instagram to see what people were saying.
Yeah, what'd they have? I participated in the vote, but I did not look at what the results were.
Of like who voted for they think was going to win?
Yeah.
I think we had about 22% of voters went for Michael Chandler, but about 78% had Poirier winning, which was valid, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, wow. What a fight, though. Like I said, I think we kind of said as long as Dustin survives the first round, I think we figured with the discipline that Dustin has and the wildness of Michael Chandler would kind of wear off a little bit. And, Dustin was very, very close to being done in the first round. And he admitted it himself. He said that if Chandler wasn't throwing, looping hooks and he would just kind of throw straight punches and uppercuts, he might have had a chance to get him out of there in round one. But like we said, Dustin, just in terms of being disciplined, he stayed calm, cool, collected, and I wouldn't say dominated the next two rounds, but he definitely...
Well, he lost the second one for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll say I have never seen Dustin Poirier as hurt, besides the time he obviously got knocked out versus Michael Johnson, but as hurt as he was on the feet versus Michael Chandler in that first round, I was so nervous, like, watching that. I was thinking to myself, Dustin, the one time I need you to pull through for me, you're going to get knocked out. You just cannot do this. Please. But, man, does he got that dog in him, Dustin Poirier.
Dustin's an animal, man.
He found a way to bite down on the mouthpiece. He cracks him with the right hand at the end of the first round. I thought it was done after that. I thought he was going to get Michael Chandler out of there. But Michael Chandler managed to survive, gets the second round. Thank the Lord he got the takedown. That helped him out big time. Racked up a bunch of control time in the second round. And then third round, it was anyone's fight, really. And Dustin Poirier found a way to get it done. Michael Chandler, I think, once again, kind of found himself gassed out going into the third, and evidently that cost him the fight once again.
We didn't talk about it in the first two fights, but it wasn't worth mentioning. But what do you think's next for both of these fighters?
Dustin Poirier. See,
He's in a weird spot, man.
He is in a weird spot, having he's fought for the belt twice, lost both times, and now the division's going to be a little held up, being that Makhachev is going to be facing Volkanovski. So, you know, there's some time for the lightweight division to get sorted out and have a contender available for when after Islam and Alexander do their business. So I think if I were to want to see Dustin fight anybody, you could do the Oliveira rematch again.
I was just thinking that. That's like never crossed my head until like right now for some reason. But yeah, I mean, that does make sense. I mean, I think that would be fair.
You think that's a different fight in three rounds than it is in five?
If those two fight in three?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could fight at a higher pace than they did in the first round.
With Oliveira, if you're fighting Charles in three or five round fights, I think either way, you shouldn't be planning on going the distance, because I don't think Charles plans on going the distance at all. I don't really think that makes a difference at all. I mean, Charles is going to come forward, and it's Dustin's obviously. I mean, he's not going to back down. That would make sense.
But here's the thing: how does Dariush fit into all this?
I was about to say that's the only bad part is, do you?
You cannot possibly leave Dariush out of the equation.
No, you can't at all. I'm just trying to. Like, I mean, we said we liked Oliveira versus Dariush, which also makes.
I like Dariush just as and Dustin as well.
Do we think that if Oliveira wins his next fight, he's gonna get
title shot
again? Do we think he's one away?
I think he has the people behind him, and I would imagine whatever his next fight is, it's gonna be just as exciting as his previous 4, 5, 10, 12 fights.
You know what I'd actually like to see, and I'm not sure it makes the most sense, but it makes kind of makes sense. I would kind of just like to see Oliveira Dariush, and then I like to see Poirier and Gaethje too, if I'm being honest, just from a fan's point of view. I feel like that would just be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it makes the most sense, but
I would love to see Dariush versus Oliveira. I think if I could have a fight, pick a fight at 155, it would be those two.
Yeah, we also got Fiziev up there. Fiziev is doesn't have a fight announced, right? No, he's looking for one.
He's looking for one. I don't think Gaethje wants to give it to him. I think he wants somebody like a Oliveira or a Poirier. But, you know, maybe Michael Chandler steps up to the plate now. But I think
that would be a heck of a fight.
Mm-hmm. But I think Michael Chandler needs to take some time off.
He does. He does. But as for Michael Chandler, I think he's obviously said he's got one man on his mind for quite some time now. And I think it makes more sense than ever, considering now that Chandler has lost and, you know, he's fought what? He's fought. Now the top three contender. He's lost to the top three guys in lightweight, excluding the champ.
Yeah.
But obviously you're not going to fight the champ considering he lost. Mm-hmm. I think him and McGregor, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think, like you said with Dustin, I think Chandler. Yeah. Chandler also needs some time off. So, yeah. And Connor has a long way to go before he gets back. So I think it makes sense as a Connor fan. Is that exactly who I don't even know who I want to see, but is that who I want to see? I'm not sure. But I think that makes more sense than ever now that Chandler's lost. Obviously, Connor's coming off a loss, so I mean.
A doctor stoppage.
I mean, yeah, third fight.
I don't know. Who's Michael Chandler versus Connor, 170? You think they do a one? Connor says it's 170.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I don't know what Connor's thinking. You never know what he's thinking because he's mentioned. Ever since he's gotten hurt versus Dustin, he said so many names.
Anyone from 145 to 170, like literally.
Anyone. I mean, I don't know. It's just it's hard to say right now. But I'm looking at the list of people. I don't know who else Chandler would be interested in fighting at the 155-pound division. Like, I mean, there's not really. Once you get out of the top, like, seven, like, the names, they're good fighters. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, in terms of name. Like, when I think of Michael Chandler, I think of, like, a big name fight, you know? Like, I mean, I'm sure that's what the UFC would want as well.
I think, like you said, they're really high level fighters. Obviously, at 155, that's one of the most stacked divisions for a long time. But what the UFC did not do a good job of in these past 2-3 years, I think, is like mixing up some of their younger talent with their older talent to kind of build that young talent up.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's really been a round robin between Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje, Chandler. for the last 2-3 years. Yeah. And we haven't really got to see guys like Jalen Turner, Izmagulov.
I was going to say, Armand. Like, if you look at the – I mean, if you tell the average MMA fan, you ask him who's Gamrot, who's Sarukian, who is Jalen Turner, and who's Izmagulov, who is 8-11 in the lightweight division, I'm not sure they could they would be able to tell you
who they
are.
They can definitely tell you who Connor or Tony is in their ranking.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying like it. I'm just thinking of another fight for Chandler besides Connor. Like I really don't know what he's gonna do.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny they did say Eddie Alvarez was considering returning to the UFC,
and that is a fight that he said he was interested.
He said he was interested. That would be if that were to happen. I don't think I see it, but if it were, that would be kind of interesting.
It'd be nice to see.
Love to see Edward get back in the octagon one more time. I would root. If I'm being honest, I like Chandler. I would so root for Eddie, no matter who he fought.
Give him Connor again. I was about to say. Please give him Connor again.
That is a fight I want to see. Give Edward a second chance.
That's
a fight
that's certainly winnable. But I don't know. This can go in a number of different ways for either guy.
I agree. We'll see.
And it'll be interesting to see what the UFC does. But they got some pretty good matchmakers over there who aren't named Roman Garcia or PJ Katona. So I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Yep.
But yeah, the People's Main Event certainly delivered. And
fight of the year, in my opinion. I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think there's any other fight that had me on the edge of my seat like that one did.
I really liked Glover versus Yuri.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a fight. I also, obviously, Burns and Chimaev did also take place this year.
Phenomenal, dude.
Another big fight. This one was,
that's the thing. Though, like,
recency bias plays a big factor. I would have to rewatch all of them. Yeah.
There's some, I'm not saying it's, like, clear cut, but in my opinion, like, I'm just thinking of, like, My live reaction to like the fight happening, and I'm not even like a big fan of either one of these guys, and like I was on the edge of my seat.
I really wanted Dustin not to get knocked out. Just because I needed him to win. And he pulled through. Shout out to the Diamond. And PJ, would you say you're a fan of Dustin Poirier now?
No. I'm not a fan. I just have, there's like certain guys in the UFC that I'm not fans of. I just have so much respect for that. Don't get me wrong. I like Dustin. I like Dustin a lot, I should say. But am I a fan? No. Because you just can't, I'm not going to lie. Like everybody, like anyone who knows me, I'm not a fan. I'm not going to lie. I do
so
like the guy.
You like him a lot, but.
Yeah.
You like watching his fights?
Yes. Every time. I mean, that's the thing.
You would never miss a Dustin Poirier fight.
No, I would never. How would you?
Would you root for him against most other 155 pounders? Against I would not Justin Gaethje, would you root for
yes.
him?
Yes.
Dariush?
No.
Fiziev?
Yes. Anybody besides. I would root for him against Dariush. Only. Yeah.
Who would you? So just Oliveira, Connor.
The only ones that I would really not want to see him beat. Yeah, those two right there, pretty much.
But all those other ones you'd be.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a.
So you're a fan.
No, I just I like him. I like him, and I have respect for him. Dude, okay. I mean, tell me we weren't trash talking him when he was fighting.
Oh, don't get me wrong, dude.
I can't call myself a fan. Like, just out of, I'm not gonna be a bandwagon here and say I'm a fan.
I mean, I don't think you'd be a bandwagon because I don't know.
Maybe I'm just a little fan. All right, is that fair?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm gonna say.
Okay, I'm not a true fan. How about that? I'm a fan, but I'm not a true fan.
You're a fan of the skills.
Yes, and I have respect. Like that's the thing, though. There are like a lot of fighters on the entire UFC roster that I wouldn't consider myself a fan of, but I just have so much respect for them.
Like Carlos Esparza.
All right. Don't ever bring that name. Don't ever say that again. But guys like Usman as well. Like, I'm not a fan of Usman, but I have so much respect for him.
I'm not a fan. I wouldn't root against him.
I know.
I never root for Usman.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying, like, names like that, they're just guys that have done so much in the sport that it's hard to dislike and not respect. So, all right, maybe I'm a fan, but I'm not a true fan of Dustin Poirier.
You're not a ride or die Poirier
No.
Okay, I can respect that for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Diamond.
I don't want to lie to everybody on. I can't lie to everybody out here. I'll be honest. So would you say you're a fan of Dustin Poirier?
I don't know. He really won me. He won me money this weekend. That's why I really
won me. Yeah, I mean.
And I was and there was a moment in the fight where I was like, Dustin, if he would have lost in the first round, I would be crapping on him right now as we speak.
Yeah.
But because we won money, he won me some money. And won me my pride back.
Yeah,
Dustin, you're a fan, Roman Garcia.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's
good,
fair.
Good for you, Dustin. But yes, people's main event delivered.
I agree.
Moving on to the co-main event. Also delivered on our prediction because this was never a contest, really. And we all knew how this was going to end. Well, we did say knockout and it ended up being a submission, but still.
All I knew was Esparza was toast in this fight. That's all I knew. I didn't know how she was going to lose, but I was at Brothers while this fight was going on, and this is when I went to the bar to go get. I went right after the Poirier fight. I went there to the bar because I just had no doubt in my mind that Weili was going to get this done.
Not even worth watching, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say that. And here's the thing: I feel like we're disrespecting Esparza a little bit just because she had a boring fight against the Rose. I mean, before that, we can't deny she had a phenomenal run to get back to the title.
Was it phenomenal, PJ? I remember us talking last week about how she.
Well, she had a lot of split decisions. That's fair.
But she did earn victories.
She won, though.
She was winning fights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just glad the belt changed hands. But
me too. I 100% agree. I would not. I would have been very mad if Esparza won somehow. Mm-hmm. I will say. But yeah, Zhang Weili, I think rightfully.
Reclaim the throne.
Yes, rightfully so. And I don't know if Weili's going to lose for a long time now, in my opinion. I think she's the best. I still think she'd beat Thug Rose if they fought again.
Yeah.
For a third time, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't even know what's next for Weili, honestly. I've seen some people talking about Amanda Lemos, but...
Lemos hits hard.
That'd be a hard-hitting fight, for sure.
That would be fun to watch, to be honest.
I think Weili, the
and Lemos might have a shot, to be honest, just of how hard she hits. But
I don't know. Zhang Weili takes shots.
No, I'm not going to say anybody on this roster, or at least in this division, is going to beat Weili. But
why do they feed that girl? Like, how do you end up?
I would love to know.
Looking like that,
I would love
to
know.
She looks not even human. Like,
no, she's a beast of a human being, to say the least. I mean, effortlessly picking up Francis Ngannou, who weighs three times her size, is all I needed to see. All anyone needs to see.
I literally told you. I said before. I was like. Carla Esparza, I think even if she lands a flush head kick, catches Weili leaning in, she would not put her down. She is just too strong, too powerful.
I was
going
to say, Thug Rose did do it to her.
Thug Rose did.
But, yeah, Esparza doesn't hit as hard as Thug Rose, to be honest. But, yeah. Anything else you want to comment on this unsurprising?
Weili got the finish for me. She was also one of the reasons I made some money this weekend. So, shout out, Weili. I hope you hold on to that belt for a while because I'm going to keep betting on you. And hopefully it proves dividends or, I don't know, makes me more money in the future. Shout out, Weili. But now we will move on to the main event. PJ, Adesanya versus Alex Pereira. What did you think of this one? What were your thoughts heading into the fight? And then what were your thoughts after the fight?
Well, as we said, obviously last episode, for those who tuned in, we were very indifferent. We felt very indifferent about this fight because, like I said, I just couldn't imagine Adesanya losing. Like, I could, but I couldn't imagine him getting floored, which he didn't. He didn't get floored. But that I thought that was the way, if he was going to lose, like this is, we all knew. If it went to a decision like I predicted, it was going to be Adesanya. And like you said, if Pereira wins, which you predicted, it was going to be a knockout. And I just didn't know which one to pick. Mm-hmm. I was 3 minutes away from being right and ended up being what you predicted. What round did you have?
I had three. I thought.
The third round, that's right.
I would like to add, I did not think Pereira, I did not know his gas tank. Obviously, I've never seen him in a five-round fight. And I remember commenting last week that I think a five-round fight would play advantage to Adesanya. And especially after, was it the fourth round where he got taken down and held there for, what, like a good portion of the fight?
Who, Pereira or Adesanya? Mm-hmm. It was one of those middle rounds. Yeah. It was either the third or the fourth.
Yeah, Adesanya picked up a lot of control time. I think it was the fourth. And I thought after that, I'm like, damn, I think Pereira's probably going to be pretty gassed going into this round five. But no, immediately got up off the stool, took control of the octagon, pressed Adesanya up against the cage, and... man, when that left hook
I was just gonna say, like, I don't know. I mean, Adesanya, there was a leg kick in the fifth round that Adesanya threw that I think Pereira checked, and I think that really compromised Izzy's foot. It was either his foot or just his whole leg, because right after that happened, Izzy was constantly backpedaling up against the fence. And, like, I kept saying to the people I was watching with, like, you cannot comfortably sit up against the fence against Alex Pereira and not expect to get absolutely toasted.
I mean, every time he got backed up against the fence, started ducking his head, I was thinking, well, where's all that tennis ball training, you know? I thought that's what that was for the head movement.
I mean, it was, but, I mean, the thing is, it's a lot easier to do when you're not tired versus when you're in the fifth round and you're 3 minutes away from another UFC championship. And, yeah, I think stamina, I think it got to him just a little bit, obviously, and then, obviously, the Pereira left hook is the most lethal punch in the entire UFC right now,
right now, for sure. Less lethal strike. I mean, hey, you think that's what do you think? Obviously, Pereira hits harder than Conor McGregor, but what do you think is the more deadlier punch, pound for pound? The Conor McGregor left hook or the Alex Pereira left hook?
I got to say Pereira. I don't even think it's really.
He takes people's souls with that punch.
Prime, like, I mean, Prime McGregor was obviously a disgusting man, but it's just like every time Pereira connects that punch, they go down.
It's over.
Every time. Yeah, and while we've had a smaller sample size of Pereira than Conor, based on what we've seen, I mean, that photo we were talking about earlier of Izzy's face
rearranged on his head.
Yeah.
His skull is still facing the same
way.
That's
the thing. Skull facing north, face going west. I mean, yeah, that left hook is brutal, man. Yeah.
It was bad.
But
this was a great fight.
Yeah.
And I will say props to Izzy because I know a lot of people are saying, you know, he might just come into this fight, stick and move. And while he was doing a lot of sticking and moving, he was landing a lot of his own shots.
He was.
A lot of effective shots, and none more effective than the one he landed at the ending buzzer of round one. A right hand over the top, and then a left hook right on the chin.
I will say, in my opinion, and I think I saw it on Twitter as well, I think Pereira was way more hurt than Izzy was. Like, when Pereira finished Izzy, I think Pereira was more hurt at the end of that first round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Dude, I mean, Pereira was out on his feet. Like, in all seriousness, if there was five more seconds, I mean, I know you saw it, but anyone else, like, I mean, his feet, his legs were literally
going. He was doing the chicken dance,
for
sure.
He was chicken dancing. He literally could have landed. If Izzy landed a jab, I think Pereira would have fell to the ground.
But time was on his side.
No, it was, 100%.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was hurt real bad at the end of that one. But he recovered nicely. And the second round is the one on the judges' scorecards that he won.
Yeah, I agree. He said himself, though, that him getting buzzed in the first round helped him a lot because he was kind of sloppy in the first round, which he was. Izzy hit him quite a few times in the first round. And after that, Pereira was able to at least not get bopped like that again. Mm-hmm. But although I think Adesanya, in my opinion, I think he... Now, I wouldn't say he was fully in control, but he was obviously he was going to win the fight if he made it to the buzzer.
Yeah, for sure.
But
in terms of total strikes, he landed his lowest percentage, Pereira, that is, in the round one. And after he got rocked, as he said, he did tighten it up, never landed less than 61% for the rest of the fight in each round. Even secured, and I honestly did like this. I know a lot of people were saying, well, whoever shoots, you know, you're kind of going to look like a bitch. But this is a mixed martial arts contest at the end of the day. And Alex Pereira, end of the second round, shoots, takes Izzy down. But then promptly in the fourth round, went for a takedown again, I think. Or no, Izzy went for a takedown. Yeah. I don't know. There was a scramble, which ended up with Izzy on top control, and he did not relinquish that control.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a mixed martial arts fight, and, like, you know,
it was nice that I just think it was nice that we got to see everything.
If I honestly, like we said, Izzy would get trolled for being a wrestler, but you know, I mean, it's mixed martial arts, and if Pereira can't, I mean, I think he could have done a little. I mean, I don't know if he could have done a little more. Izzy, obviously, I think he has too much pride to turn into a full wrestler versus somebody, because obviously Adesanya is one of the greatest strikers to ever race this sport.
But him getting that ground control certainly sealed him around in an
For sure. Fight. I mean, yeah, he was going to win.
And in title fights, that's all that matters.
Obviously, he was going to win if this got to the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
But, what do we think is next for both fighters? A lot of people are asking about an instant rematch, which I'm not opposed to at all, because Izzy's been champ for, what, 5-6 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what I'd love to know what Dana White's thinking, but I don't know what he's thinking. I think it's either got to be Whitaker or Izzy next for Pereira, personally. Just whether...
Well, that's if Whitaker wins his fight versus Paulo Costa.
Yeah, that's fair. I should say that. I forget. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about that.
Well, I asked the people this question on our Instagram, and 60% said that they want to see the Izzy rematch. Nobody voted for the winner of Whitaker versus Costa. And then 40% went to Hamzat Chimaev, who threw his name in the hat.
Yeah, that's fair, but I don't think that. Like, no, personally, for me, that shouldn't happen because...
He hasn't fought at 185.
Yeah, I agree. Although, like, a very long time. If that fight happens, I have Chimaev winning, but I don't think that should happen right now, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I tweeted out that I personally don't really see... Here's my thing. Five rounds versus Alex Pereira, who proved in this fight he can last as long as you need him to. He's going to find that left hand eventually. He always does, seemingly, evidently, always finds that left hand. And when he finds that left hand, when he connects with it, that's the end of the fight right
Lights
there.
Lights go out, for sure.
So I just think he has his number. I think he has Adesanya's number.
Well, clearly, I mean, obviously he does, but if you were Dana White, would you take into account
the kickboxing match,
the two previous non-MMA fights when thinking about a rematch?
Well, when you think about what they went out there and did and what they're probably going to go out there and do if they were to fight another time, they're going to mostly kickbox. And if you're 2-0 in those kickboxing matches and then you win a fight in MMA where, yes, there was wrestling involved, but it was mostly a kickboxing match. You could definitely, I don't know. Dana White and I think all of them will do whatever will make the company the most money.
I think this rematch would just, I think everybody would tune into this fight again because, I mean, everybody knows that Pereira's beat him 3 times across the sport of fighting, but he's only 1-0 in MMA and... Usually when a champ goes down, they at least get one more chance. Mm-hmm. In the UFC, I'm saying. Yeah. They usually get another chance. And I think, like, I'm just trying to think of the numbers a trilogy would do. Say Adesanya wins the next fight. Like, imagine a Pereira-Izzy trilogy. Like, that would... Even, like, this rematch, I think everybody would tune into this. Like, I think pay-per-view... I think... I obviously, it would do a lot more buys than Pereira versus Whitaker or anybody else, honestly.
But what if they did something like a Chimaev versus Adesanya first, and then they did Pereira?
That they could. I still think Chimaev needs to finish his business at welterweight, considering.
Yeah.
He's got that boy Colby Covington. I mean,
I wish he got his career sorted out. This guy could have This guy should have had a title shot months ago.
Yeah, he's a little stupid.
Well, I will say, not everyone wants to fight. It's not easy for a guy like that to get a fight, though.
No,
who wants to fight?
It's not, but he...
He definitely needs to figure out, and he didn't do himself any favors missing weight, so...
Not at all, but yeah, I mean, I still would love to see him at least... I mean, I would like to see him either lose at welterweight or win the welterweight belt before he does anything in 185, unless he just wants to say... Like you said, I guess it would be fair. I don't think he should walk right into fighting Pereira. I mean, maybe Adesanya versus Chimaev would be fair. But, yeah, I would like to see Chimaev just finish his business at 180 or 170 before he gets to 185, in my opinion.
I wish they'd just book that guy. I mean, what happened to the Chimaev experiment? What happened to booking him every 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Obviously, the higher up in the rankings you get, it's not as easy to get.
You have limited opponents because, you know, I mean, now there's only, realistically, it only makes sense for him to fight either Bilal or Colby.
Yeah. And at middleweight. You can probably give him anyone, winner of Cannoneer.
I was going to say, before Paulo Costa got scheduled versus Whitaker, I was going to say him and Costa made perfect sense. A little guy, right outside the top five, and then, you know, you give him a top guy, and then you give him a title shot. But, yeah, I just want the UFC to announce Dana said they're working on Colby versus Hamza, which I hope that happens.
Please just get it done. Please get it done.
That would be my dream fight.
Yeah.
Although, I love Colby. I don't think Colby wins that fight, but I would just I would love to see it personally.
And I'd love for Khamzat to just ruin his face. Yeah. Like, and then I could come back on this podcast, talk about how much you suck and how much Colby sucks. But I don't know. I don't know if Dana was going to get that done. Because whenever they struggle to get a fight scheduled for this long, it's never a good sign. Yeah. I mean, somebody's usually asking for something.
But there's nothing else that you can make between these two. I mean, unless if Chimaev moves up, then you go Colby and Bilal, and I guess it's figured out. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But for Esper, yeah, I think likely, though, in all likelihood, I think they're probably going to do the rematch, Pereira versus Adesanya.
I also think so. I think it just makes the most sense. I mean, mm-hmm. from a business standpoint, it makes the most sense, considering Whitaker already has a fight. If Whitaker didn't have a fight right now, like, maybe I would just say, like, okay, now Rob, I mean, he's got an argument. Yeah. But
Rob Whitaker needs to win his next
fight. I also
fight.
Don't know if the UFC wants to take the chance of Whitaker fighting Pereira, right? Like,
and then
he loses, and then they miss out on a
sweepstakes.
Although Israel said no matter if Pereira's a champ or not, he'd like to fight him again.
And I think every fan would want to watch that fight.
I don't know who wouldn't want to see it happen again because, I mean, I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like Izzy, but, like, obviously he's arguably one of the greatest middleweights of all time. So I think the disrespect for Izzy is a little too high for me. Again, like, another example right here, like, I wouldn't say I'm an Adesanya fan. I like Izzy a lot, and I respect everything he's done in the sport. So, yeah, it's hard to not give it. It's hard to say he doesn't deserve a rematch right now.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, the reason I want to say no, I don't want him to get a rematch is
because you don't like him.
I don't like Izzy.
That's the thing, though. When you put your bias aside, what makes the most
sense? Well, PJ, you don't have to call me out on my selfishness, but... Yeah, I just don't want to see it happen, okay? But if it does happen, I'll understand. And, you know, maybe there's a little part of me that fears Israel Adesanya facing Alex Pereira again because I want Alex to hold on to that belt.
But would you – so if they fought again, you'd like to see Pereira beat him, like, just straight up for the fourth time?
Oh, yeah. We need to put an end to this nonsense.
You wouldn't like to see a trilogy, though?
I mean, a trilogy is always nice when it's one-to-one. I mean, but technically that was – no, I guess it wasn't the trilogy. I would see a trilogy would be cool, but it also wouldn't be bad to see. It's never bad to see a fresh face fight for the title.
It would be crazy though if Pereira just, like, I mean, I still don't know.
I think he floors him again. Honestly, I'm telling you right now. I'll put it out there in months and months in advance. Alex Pereira is gonna knock him out again.
That's a hot take, sir. I wouldn't say it's hot. Actually, it's just bold.
This
ballsy,
far out.
Ballsy, yeah, I would say.
I'm saying that left hook always lands.
I agree.
I'm not saying I disagree
with you at all because, honestly, at this point, like, it's very confusing because I had Izzy winning by, unanimous decision, and obviously he was 3 minutes away from that, but like you said, just takes one, and that's why this sport is as entertaining as it is. You can be.
Unless Israel goes out there and just wrestles, or I don't even know.
But what an event. I mean, what would you give it out of 10?
Out of 10? Have I ever given a card a 10 out of 10? I do not know.
That's what I was thinking because I saw somebody, like, on Twitter saying, like, what would you rate this card? And, like, everyone was just saying, like, 10. But, like, 10 is, like, I mean,
has there ever been a perfect card?
The main, yeah.
It would have been perfect if Claudio Puelles would have.
That's the thing. The main.
Leg-locked him.
Yeah. Like, the actual pay-per-view, I mean, 5 finishes, 5 fights. I mean, despite one of them being pretty pathetic, I mean... I don't know. And, I mean, to be honest, the co-main wasn't super exciting. It was just very expected.
Yeah.
I would give it a 9.5.
I'd give it a 9. I'll go a 9, 9.5 as well.
Compared to, you know, the last couple events of, you know, 280, 279, I mean, I think it was definitely, yeah.
Well, who was your MVP of the card? MVP.
Oh, I mean, well, I think Poirier is the MVP. I think Poirier is the MVP of the card, but, I mean, obviously the biggest news is obviously Pereira winning, but, yeah.
I would agree. I would get
MVPs. I'll say MVPs, Poirier and Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah, you need that fight on the card for it to be as special as it is.
You take that card off the fight.
Yeah.
Take that fight off the card. Excuse me.
Then you probably, really just have a good main event, and then you see Gutierrez dig Eddie's grave. You see Poilis, you know, lay an egg, and then you see a very predictable co-main.
What a card, though, overall.
Yeah. Shout out to the
weekend.
UFC.
Great weekend of fighting.
We really needed this one after 280, as I said earlier in the podcast. I ended up going 4 for 5 in my, at least in my winner's perspective.
I mean, I don't really count the whole, it's pretty hard to predict exactly how they're going to win.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's more just like, it's nice to see if we can get it down.
Yeah. Solid weekend though. 4 out of 5 for you, 3 out of 5 for me. I'll take 3 out of 5 anytime.
And
in this sport,
it's all right because you were on your way to getting the main event right. And who would have thought Poilis would have done what he did in there?
I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, you should be 5 out of 5. I mean, I won't say should, but you could. You could have, would have, and should have pretty much been 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I should have just said Dan Hooker's name.
Didn't know Poilievre was going to fight how we'd fight if we stepped in the octagon right now. That's really not our fault.
Oh,
so.
Literally. But yeah, a great UFC 281 this taking place this past Saturday. But we will look ahead towards this weekend's action just quickly, because there's not really much to talk about besides UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Spivak. Honestly, I'm pretty tired, PJ. I don't want to talk about this for long. I think Derek Lewis is going to knock him out because
I like Derek. See, I'm a fan of Derek Lewis, but I don't know, man. The way he's, like I keep saying over and over, Father Time's a little undefeated. In the last two knockouts he's had, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if. It's hard to say because, like, now I actually want someone to win, like, bad, like not badly, but I want him to win, and now I feel like, you know, he's going to lose, considering Spivak's a whole 10 years younger than Derek Lewis, and he's obviously won his last two fights by knockout. Derek's lost his last two fights by knockout. I'd love to see Derek Lewis win, but, yeah, I don't know. So you're going Derek Lewis by knockout?
Yeah, I mean, in the apex, usually he tends to do a bit better versus on, like, in front of a crowd.
It does favor him because, the apex is smaller.
Yeah, small as well. And I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of out of Spivak.
Yeah. Just now it's a 5-round fight, though, which definitely favors Spivak. But, I mean,
that's not going 5. I think Derek Lewis either gets finished or he finishes the other guy.
Yeah,
typically.
No, I'm not saying it's going to go 5. But if it gets some, if it somehow gets to, like, even, like, the third round, Derek's probably going to be a little tired, if I'm being honest with you.
But, yeah, there's really nothing. Do you want to talk about anything else on that?
No, not really. I mean, we could talk about, I mean, UFC announced officially, though, moving on, that they announced Islam Makhachev, Alexander Volkanovski officially signed for UFC 284 in Perth, Australia. And they also announced the interim belt for, in the featherweight division due to Volkanovski moving up a weight class. Yair Rodriguez versus Josh Emmett. I mean, we could save our predictions, but I mean, obviously, what are we thinking about the Mach Volk fight?
Honestly, I think after our podcast from 280, when we were talking about the results of 280, I'm pretty sure I said that Mach's going to beat him easily. Now, I still think Mach has the advantage. I don't. Maybe it's not as easy as I had originally
thought. People are counting out Volk a little too quickly. Yeah, like, I'm not saying Volk's going to win, but, man, he's number one pound for pound in the world for a reason.
I still favor Mach. It will be a closer fight than I probably imagined it to be. I was really, you know, dealing with some sadness after 280, so I think I wanted to just build up Makhachev as the greatest fighter of all time to compensate for him beating Dubronx, who is the second greatest fighter of all time. But, that's going to be a good one, and it'll be interesting to see how Volkanovski does in front of his home crowd and deals with all that publicity. This is probably going to be, obviously, this is probably going to be end up being the biggest fight of his career.
See, here's an interesting thing for me, though. Like, wouldn't you, I feel like it's harder to take down someone who's shorter than you than it is when someone that's taller than you, because you have to really reach down.
Yeah, to get underhooks in and stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, for Oliveira, like, I think Oliveira's maybe an inch taller or two than Makhachev, so, like, I mean, Makhachev, like, I feel like, because what, Volk's what, 5'6"?
Yeah, so he's 5'4 at least.
Yeah, he's short, so, like, I mean, maybe, like, Volk's got a little extra time to, you know, react to the takedown, but ultimately, we'll save our predictions for another, but I'm early, obviously, I think we both could say Makhachev's going to re-raise gold again. How about Yair versus Emmett, though? I mean, I would say, I'm not going to say I'm surprised, actually. So they held out Arnold Allen.
Yeah, but... You know,
Emmett ranked number 5, Yair number 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about the fight yet. I gotta think about that one as well.
Yair leaves himself open to get hit quite a lot.
He does.
And Emmett he's probably the hardest hitter in that division. So I probably would tell you, Yair, try not to get hit that much if you can.
Yeah. I think most fighters usually try to do that.
But I'll be rooting for him because
I would like to see Yair win this one.
Yeah, because he's Mexican, right, PJ? Is that why you're rooting for him?
It's not why I'm rooting for him, but I mean, I'm assuming that's why you're rooting for him, pal. But I like Yair, and you know, since you're rooting for him, I guess I'll also root for him. Yeah,
that's what I like to hear. Yeah. Hopping on the bandwagon, straight to the title. Yeah. But,
you don't really want to talk about Floyd Mayweather and Deji Dewey. Floyd gets not knockout victory as expected.
Sixth round. Hey, but I saw they posted a picture that Deji gave Floyd a black eye or something.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Floyd wasn't trying. Did you watch that at all?
Yeah, I watched. I would never dedicate time to watch it. I saw some of the highlights. He was messing around with them.
Yeah, I put it up on my laptop while I was watching, I believe, because it was going on during the Bears game, I believe, or maybe it was a little after that, but Floyd was literally just messing around. Yeah, it was kind of stupid.
He could have beat that. He could have ended that fight within a round if he wanted to.
He could have won a couple seconds. Yeah. Lastly, I would like to say, sadly, for those of you who don't know, yesterday, UFC legend Anthony Rumble Johnson, sadly, he passed away yesterday. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he had been sick for a little bit.
Yeah.
Anthony Johnson, arguably one of the hardest hitters in UFC history. Saddening to see that happen. Just want to give him a shout out because obviously I've watched a lot of his highlights. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. One of the more entertaining fighters in UFC history, and I just like to give him a little shout out.
Yeah, shout out to
shout out of appreciation for him and what he did for the sport.
Yeah,
only 38 years of age. 38 sadly.
Years of age, but finished with the record of 23-6 with 17 knockouts, 74%. Knockout percentage across three weight divisions, I want to say, as
fought
well.
Fought the best of the best, man. I mean, lost to Cormier twice, no shame in that.
But beat the likes of Teixeira.
In 13 seconds, he beat Teixeira.
Bader, Gustafson, Arlovsky. A lot of notable and big wins in his career. And, it's definitely sad to see him go out at such a young age. But his legacy will live on for many years to come. And sad to see him go. Thanks for bringing up that news, PJ. Almost making me cry at the end of the podcast.
I just wanted to give him a little shout out of appreciation.
Certainly deserves the acknowledgement for all he's done in his career. But with that all being said, was there any other news you wanted to get to, PJ? Anything you wanted to highlight?
Not really, unless you got something else to say.
I am all good, I would say.
With that. Another heck of a weekend in fighting. I guess nothing. I can't think of anything else to talk about. So
no, I'm all good. And this has been the Split Decision Podcast with PJ and Roman Garcia. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I hope you guys used our picks from last week and won you guys some money. And we will see you guys at the top.
See you at the top.